for 2020, I want us to have a lot more Jesus in our heart and a lot less toxic religion. Toxic religion or Jesus? You see, there's a big difference when I listen to the secular world say, well, and I do know this for a fact. Did you know, based on religion, when Christianity is called a religion by the secular realm, did you know that Christianity is the most persecuted religion throughout the world, including the United States of America? Did you know that? Well, I thought it was the Jewish nation. No, it's the Christians, those professing to be Christian. But as you and I look at our life and our relationship with Christ, I want you to form that picture in your mind and your relationship with Jesus rather than a Christian religion. A personal relationship with Christ, a fellowship with Jesus. What if I'm out somewhere and my religion tells me I ought to be in a church building, or I ought to be out here in the middle of the woods somewhere building a little altar or doing this? What if I can't get there? Then my religion is shot. But I got a relationship. And His name is Jesus. And He invited me to be a part of His family. He calls me brother, calls you sister. He lets us know that God the Father loves me and you just as much as He loves Jesus. Now, you cannot say that, folks. You're going to pay more attention to your blood child than you are anybody else, unless you have Jesus. Jesus says, well, you are my blood. The matter of fact, I gave my blood for you when you said yes to me. But being more about who Jesus is in our own individual life, personal relation. Jesus equals a relationship. And a relationship equals passion. Did not Jesus show us that passion on that cross? Is there not passion in relationships? There's passion in religion. But then somebody's going to change a rule in religion. Jesus doesn't change. That I am God and I change not. There's no change in your relationship when you have one with Jesus. He's still going to love you. Even though you've been bad, He's still going to love you. Even though you've been ugly, He's still going to love you. Even if you are ugly, He's still going to love you. And God looks to the heart of His creation. And as He looks to that heart, He says, I want you to have more of my Son. I gave Him for you. Think of how much He loves us. Think of that relationship. Well, let's just stand right now and read about that relationship that only we could receive from Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God's blessings be upon the reading of His holy word. You may be seated. Thank you. Now, toxic means poisonous. Toxic religion will always equal toxic faith, a poison faith. People say, well, all it takes is faith. Well, faith in who? All it takes for me as a Christian is faith in Jesus Christ. But then I realize there are a lot of people that have faith, but they don't have it in the person of who Jesus is. Therefore, if you don't have faith in who Jesus is, you got trouble in your life. It is Jesus that can make a difference in your life. It is Jesus who will make a difference in your life. But He doesn't want you to come up toxic, poisoned. Oh, toxic religion. Religion, 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 religion produces toxic, poisonous faith. You'll have faith in the wrong thing. Now, you hear me well on this. I'm holding up my Bible. This Bible contains, for me, the Word of God, the breath of God, the personality of God, the peace of God, the hope of God. God said, I will give you my word. See, this is all I can handle down here on earth in this body. People say, I wished I had more. I don't know. Do you know all of this one yet? Have you read it? Have you noticed that every time you read the same verse over and over and again, you get more out of it? So how can you read the Word of God and say, okay, that's it. Read it again. Read it again. But if you put faith in just the words in a book and not in the spirit in which those words were given, you got a good book. It's a good read. I just have trouble understanding it. That's because you're reading it. You let the Lord read it to you. He'll give you an understanding all that you can handle. Here's what our trouble is again. In religion, religion has a tendency to say, okay, I want you to go and praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come and has redeemed His people. Now, you memorize that, and that's all you're going to need. No. Memorize the God. Memorize the love. Memorize. How about digesting? I had a homiletics professor, and he said, now, and he got up there, and I was young. Well, I was young. In school, and he just tickled me to death. He gets up in front of the class, and he has the emotion and the motions that go with it. He said, I want you to read that Word of God. I want you to absorb it. I want you to digest it. And I'm sitting out there, you know, as a dumb student. I'm sitting out there thinking, oh, that dude's got it. And then the more he would talk, the more I would think, well, he's losing it, isn't he? But now, the older I get, the more I understand. You see, the Word of God is alive. It is not just words. It's the life of God, the breath of God. And He says, I want you to absorb my Word. I want you to have a relationship with my Word. I want my Word to saturate you. And then you will find the peace you're looking for. You want understanding? That understanding is in the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. God said, let me read it to you. He didn't just give me the book. Say, okay, Larry, read it. God has always said, let me tell you. Let me read to you. But Lord, I can only handle one verse at a time. Larry, sometimes you can't handle two words at a time. Do we understand that when you absorb and understand that this holy word is direct from God, and this word is just for you as an individual? Toxic religion. Listen to the scripture. 2 Timothy 3:7. Where people are always learning, but they're never able to acknowledge the truth. Old English would say it this way, I believe. Ever learning, but never able to come to the truth of God. Ever learning, but they just can't quite reach. Do you realize that when you say yes to Jesus, you got all of Jesus you're going to ever get? And Jesus then and begins that work in you to get more of you. We have trouble giving up self. You have trouble doing that in a relationship. If I love, then that person that I love gets hurt, then I've got to hurt, and I don't want to hurt anymore. I've hurt enough, so therefore I stay away from love. I stay away from relationships. And then everybody around you is miserable. When you push love out, you push relationships out. But folks, when you push the love of Christ out, you push hope out. You push the next step out. I do not know whether the next step that I take right up here in this pulpit is going to be my last step on planet Earth. You don't either. That breath that you're breathing. But I do know this. I know Jesus. I have a personal relationship with Him. I have faith in Him because it's obvious I don't know what I'm doing. I have faith in Jesus, and Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I will always pick you up. But Lord, I'm in the ditch of life again. Yep. Where I found you. You stumbled through life in and out of the ditch of life. But let me ask you something, Christian. How many times were you ever able to do it yourself? Well, we get cocky, especially when things are good. The economy in the United States of America has never, ever, ever been as great as it is today. And people are miserable. People are miserable. It's not in the wealth. It's not in your physical health. It's in who Jesus is in your life. Do you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Not a religion. Oh, I'm a member of the Southern Baptist Convention. Big deal. Jesus don't belong to it. I've never seen His name on any of the list. And in some of our Southern Baptist churches, His name is barely ever mentioned. Are you getting it? Understand something. It's not in a denomination, in a religion. It's in a person. And He said, I want to be your personal friend. Savior. But Lord, I don't know how to do this Christian thing. Then I'll walk with you and lead you through life. Don't we understand there's where the peace is? Admitting you can't do it on your own. And it's in the relationship. The kids always get it. My daddy can whip your daddy. You know, that kind of stuff. It's got more daddies hurt than any of the statements it's ever made. But it's the heart of love for that earthly father, earthly mother. And Jesus says, I can take care of any situation in your life. I will take care of all situations in your life. Have faith in me. Trust me. Number one, Toxic religion produces toxic faith churches. Toxic faith, meaning having faith in the wrong thing, having the faith in a building. Folks, I came here 25 years ago, going on 26 years ago. I came here. There were four trees out there in that front yard. Picnics, dinner on the ground was served under those four trees. I never heard such argument when the trees were rotting about cutting them down. You would have thought that we were going to crucify four people out there or something if those trees. Well, no, that was there during my granddaddy's time. Was the limb rotten and about to fall off in your granddaddy's time? And they went through all that garbage, and I'm thinking, that ain't right. That's not what it's about. It's not about this building. It's not about this ground. It's about the heart and the spirit of those who come here to worship a Savior. It happens to deal with the spiritual connection that we have with Jesus Christ. But a toxic faith church, it has compulsive activity. Look at it. I think it's up on a board, isn't it? Earn or burn plan of eternal life. You'll earn it or you'll burn. And it's there with a smile on her face. Why would I have a smile on my face with somebody burning and I know they don't know Jesus? But you see, that's a toxic faith. Well, you got to be. I thought growing up, the only Etna Grove Baptist Church out of Greene County, the people belonging to that church were the only ones going to heaven. Yep, I thought just that group. Man, it was going to be a lonesome stay in heaven with that group. And then as I would grow, there was other churches all over that place. And do you know that a lot of them thought they was the only ones going to be in heaven too? Did we ever break through and to have the desire that everyone, whosoever will, let them come? I don't care whether they belong to our Baptist church. I care whether or not they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. Is that not peace? Is that not joy? They don't have to think like me. And prayerfully, they sure don't look like me. What they are is an individual created by God for God to love. God created us to love us. And then He did a great miracle. He created us, human beings, as the only species of creation that would have the ability to love Him back. All the rest of existence knows God. They see Him as God. They can't change. It's not a rejection. They don't have it. We are the only of God's creation that have the freedom of choice. God says, pay attention, Jeremiah 6:14. They offer superficial treatments for my people's mortal wound. They give assurances of peace when there is no peace. They give assurances of peace when there's no peace. You come here and you belong to this church, I guarantee you, I don't guarantee you anything. I will guarantee you this. When you know Jesus, you're guaranteed heaven. I read it in the book right here. I got it. And it's the Word of God. The Holy Spirit places in your heart. That's why you even come under conviction. It's because God touched you. A Christian says, well, I feel guilty. And they have a pastor like me that says, good. No, pastor, tell me something where I don't feel guilty. No. Because if you don't feel guilty, then it's just proof you don't know Jesus. You catch me on this. You see, that means sin bothers you. If sin doesn't bother you, you feel no guilt. You feel nothing. As a prison for all those years, I met a lot of hard hearts. And I can assure you, they felt nothing. Nothing for their children. And they'd let me know the cold, stone, hard, no feelings. People say, well, there's not people like it. Yes, there are. Had a whole prison full of them. I had it in charge of a whole unit of them. Couldn't handle it more than a year at a time. I had to get out of the psych unit. Because you see, it was always hard-heartedness. And God says, when you come to me, I will soften that heart. I'll give you a heart of love, peace, joy, heart of understanding. Do we not understand that teenagers are going to be teenagers, children are going to be children, and two-year-olds are going to be whatever you want to call them. They just go wild. And I cackle. Because I know that mom and daddy's getting paid back for how they acted. But God says, stay away from toxic churches. Listen to this. Toxic faith lifestyle is what a toxic church will give you. Toxic faith lifestyle. John 6, verse 26. Jesus replied. He's looking at them. They're following him. He's got a whole bunch of followers. Oh, man, they would have filled up everything. No place could have held them. They were following Jesus. Woo! Until Jesus confronts them. You think, you know, he'd just chill out and be happy he's got this large following. Well, listen to what he said to him. I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. You're wanting to follow me for the wrong reason. That's toxic, folks. That's a toxic lifestyle. Yeah, I'm following Jesus. Why? Man, did you all see that banquet he put on for the 5,000? Did you check those banquets out? Jesus will feed you. And that didn't cost me a dime. So I'm going to follow the one that doesn't cost me a dime. Problem was, Jesus confronted them. And he confronted that toxic faith lifestyle. You can say all you want, I'm following Jesus. But here's the question. Why? Why are you following him? And I'll assure you today, it's not popular to follow Jesus. Now, during my day, growing up in those churches, it's popular to be a Christian. You'd come to a big city, you'd find the biggest church because that's good for business and all too. And that's the way it was done. Go to the biggest church for the wrong reason, but it was popular to be a Christian. Do you think maybe that's a reason that the churches are emptying out and we're going more to the mini megas or the mega churches where I can get in a crowd and hide. I don't have to be seen and don't have to do. I can be entertained and I can have that feeling. Folks, I love good Southern gospel music. I can pat my foot. I can't sing a lick, but I will be yelling to the top of my lungs with those songs. But that's not what saved me. I saved by a who, not a what. I follow not by an emotion, but because of a relationship. Because Jesus has my heart. And where my heart is where the beating takes place. The beating that pumps that spiritual blood and life through me. So he says, you stay away from those toxic faith lifestyles. Don't just follow without knowing why. And don't follow the crowd. Throughout the scripture, we're warned, don't follow the crowd. What do? We follow the crowd. You know why? It's easier. Well, what if you take a stand on your faith and somebody asks you a question? What do you believe about Jesus? I don't know, ask my pastor. Ask somebody else. By the end of next year, you will know. And I promise you that I will nag it into you. I will preach it and re-preach it. And we, John 3:16, as Randy asked you, every Sunday we read it. Now, let's digest it. Let's allow it to become a part of us. The greatest love story ever told. Finally, when you're in a toxic church, toxic religion, you will have toxic control teachers. Individuals. Now, you stay away from people like this. I don't care how holy they try to convince you they are. When they want to take the Word of God and beat you over the head with it. The Word of God is for your salvation and for your guidance, not for a weapon. For somebody who thinks they know so much to use against you. Well, I'm going to quote some scripture to you. And you have people like me confronting them and saying, do you know what that scripture means? Do you know where Jesus was and who he was speaking to when he used that scripture? Do you know the background and the circumstances of the culture of that time? Listen to this. Using scripture to control others. Matthew 23:4. Listen to what Jesus says. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Well, if you'll just go right over here, and if you will just read John 3:16 10 times, everything's going to be fine. No, it's not. You're probably going to be hoarse. No, it's not. That's not it. The power's the who behind John 3:16. Less toxic religion, more Jesus in 2020. More personal relationship with Jesus Christ in 2020. More hope, more help, more guidance. More of His control in your life. Unless you, oh, my brother Larry, can I hate for the world to miss me. The world will do just fine when it misses who you are. But the world cannot survive without knowing who Jesus is. Amen. My whole life in ministry was a call to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, not Larry Vance. Not to make people happy, not to please people, but to preach the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to make a change for the good in their life. And Larry, you preach and you back off. You preach. And if they're to be saved, I'll convict them and I'll send them your way. You don't go out there and bind the head with the Word of God. Saying, I'll make a Christian out of you if I had to break all 10 commandments to do it. That does not work. How about won't you come? Jesus is tenderly calling. And he loves you. Just like you are, Joey. Just like we are, Brother Larry. Major Chris. Brother Don. Listen to me. Just like you are. He said, you come to me and I will give you rest. And it don't get better now.